The title of our Sunday school lesson today is A Diligent Desire, and our devotional background study comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Our lesson text today picks up where the devotional background study left off, and that was with the two daughters telling Naomi that we're going to go on with you, we're going to return with you. So, picking up in Ruth chapter 1, verse 11, and Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So, there was a famine. This family goes from Bethlehem, Judah, over to Moab, because there's food there. And it says here that they dwelled there about 10 years. Now, I don't know if that was 10 years after that Elimelech died or 10 years total. It probably doesn't really matter a whole lot. But so the point is there, they were there for quite some time. This wasn't just a matter of a few months or even a year. So this was at least 10 years, perhaps longer, depending on when that started. And during that time, all of the men died. Naomi's husband and the two sons died, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And then, of course, Naomi hears that there's food in Bethlehem, Judah, so she's going to return to her homeland. And both of the two daughters are going to go with her. And for some reason, Naomi says, no, just go on back to your families and go live with them. Don't go with me. The Lord has that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, is what Naomi said. There's a lot here to study about the attitudes that these women have and the things that has occurred. Now, a bit of background. This people of Moab, that Ruth is a part of the people of Moab, a Moabitess, they call her later on in the book here, are the descendants of Lot's oldest daughter. Lot's oldest daughter, this is their descendants. And I'm sure y'all know the story of that, how that Lot fled Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that his two daughters, how they came to have children. I won't go into that because I know that y'all know that story. So Ruth is a descendant of these people. And as I studied this and I thought about it, and I thought about the things that these people are doing and the things that have gone on in history before this time, the way that Lot and that those, it was Moab and Ammon, the two descendants of Lot, how that they came to be and everything. There's a lot of sin there. There's a lot of things that went wrong, and yet God is taking this woman, and she is a picture of something good and pure and clean. And how that God is able to take this this situation and use it for His honor and His glory, and how that He's able to clean up even the worst situation, the worst thing that men and women do, and He can take that and He can make it right. He can handle that because that's what He did. We also see here in the very first verse that the reason that Naomi and her husband Elimelech go to Moab to start with was there was a famine in the land. And my Bible in the concordance here directed me to Genesis 12 and 10, and I'm going to flip over there right fast. Maybe not fast, but I'm going to flip over there and get there eventually. Genesis 12 and 10, and it says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." So we see here pretty much the same situation, but this time it's Abram going down. And I have some commentary in my Bible, and it says, and this is the Scofield commentary, if anybody's interested in it. It says here in this commentary that a famine was often, not always, but often, a disciplinary testing of God's people in the land. And it gives some references here why it says that. The resort to Egypt, the world, is typical of the tendency to substitute for lost spiritual power and fleshly resources of the world instead of seeking, through confession and amendment, the restoration of God's presence and favor. So what he's saying there is that this was a trial for Abram, and presumably for Naomi and her husband Elimelech, to see how they would turn, whether they would turn to God and confess their sins or turn to the world and try to get by. Now, it says often that that's the case. It doesn't say always, so it doesn't necessarily mean, and I want to stress that, I don't believe that when bad things happen to people that it's always a trial or a test or a result of sin. Oftentimes, and Jesus Himself said that, when some people came to question Him about why a man was born blind, they asked Him, who sinned? Was it his parents sin or did he sin? Why was that man born blind? And Jesus answered, said, they're not sinners. He didn't say they're not sinners. He said it wasn't because of sin, but rather that God might receive honor and glory was why that. And then He healed that man. So, but it's something to think about as to how this is playing out here. And the reason I say that is because, once again, God is able to receive honor and glory for this story that is unfolding here. He is able to use this situation just as He is able to use the situation that occurred with Lot when when Lot and his family fled Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't think that it was God's will, the things that occurred there. I don't think that it was God's will that Lot's wife looked back and was turned to that pillar of salt. They were warned. God sent the angels and warned them about whether or not to do that, to specifically for her to not to look back, but to flee from that. Don't turn back to the things of the world, I believe was the warning there. And it's an apt warning for us today. Don't turn to the things of the world when we're faced with problems. And it's kind of sometimes it's not so easy to do. I mean, let's face it. I when things get going, the first thing I want to do is fix it myself. If I can't fix the problem myself, well then I want to find somebody that knows how to fix it. You know, if it's a car broken down, if I can't fix it, I want to find a good mechanic that can. If it's a health problem, and I mean I know what Jimmy's going through. I don't know what Jimmy's going through. I know that he is. I don't know it personally, but I know that he's faced with a tough time here. And another thought that I have is God gave us doctors. And I don't think it's wrong to go to the doctor. Don't misunderstand me. But the one that we put our trust in, the one that we need to turn to, and I believe that's what Jimmy's doing, is God. You know, what is it that God is going to have to will to be done here? So I'm kind of straying a little bit here. That's a lot of background to think about. But the title of our lesson is A Diligent Desire. And we have here the desire of Ruth to learn more about Naomi's God. And I think that Naomi and Elimelech were godly people. I believe they worshiped God. Whether or not they were exactly where they ought to have been when they left to go into Moab, I don't know. It might have been God's will for them to go into Moab. I don't know about that. But God was able to use that situation in either case for His honor and glory. And it was Ruth's desire to learn more about that God. It was Ruth's desire to learn more about these people. She saw something different. She saw something to be reached out for, to grab hold of. And even with Naomi discouraging her here, she still had that desire. She still clung to it. She still recognized that in spite of what Naomi was saying, there was something there to go for. She recognized that there was nothing in the land of Moab for her to turn back to. There wasn't anything there to draw her back. And so that's where Ruth's her diligent desire, our title says. Okay, there is something that just crossed my mind when I was studying this. Actually, it came to my mind before this, and I said something to Lisa about it. It's kind of off the wall, I guess, maybe, but I'm going to go ahead and say, y'all know a year or so ago, gas was expensive. I mean, it was getting up around $4 a gallon, and we all talked about it. It bothered us, you know. I mean, I talked about it, and some people I talked about, everybody was kind of like, man, gas, $4 a gallon, you can't afford to fill up anymore. That was on our minds, our thoughts. I mean, it was something we dealt with all the time. And it was something that was in the news of the people of the United States. I mean, we didn't like that at all. And, I mean, it meant something to us. Well, now we've got gas is below $1.50 around Murfreesboro. I think it was $1.37, I think you said. Prices really dropped down. Well, all right. The thought that came to my mind is, if the people of the United States had that desire, and now look, it's been answered. I don't know if that's something that God did. I don't know. I can't answer for that. My point is, if the people of the United States had had a desire to draw near to God the way that, and God's people had the desire to draw near to God the way that, and we talked about it, and it was on our minds all the time, the way gas prices was a couple of years ago, if God had been on our minds and the desire to draw near to Him and to serve Him, where would we be today? What would we be seeing? I mean, I like the dollar something 50 a gallon gas. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. But where would we be today if we'd all been around talking about, you know, we're drifting away from God. We need to get back to God. This is a problem. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do if we can't get back to God? If that had been on everybody's thoughts, I believe that we would have seen an effect. I think we would be sitting around today not talking about the price of gas. It might still be at $4 a gallon. I don't know. It wouldn't matter. But perhaps then there would be more than just part of a corner of the church filled up right now. I don't know. The point is, in all that, our desires matter. The things that we think about and that we talk about, they matter. And I think more than likely that in this time, Ruth heard Naomi and Elimelech talking about God. She probably heard that, saw them, how they worshiped. They probably, and I'm just reading into this now, they probably served God even in the country of Moab. And that I say that in spite of the way that Naomi behaved, because, and I don't want to come down hard on Naomi, because you think about it, if you're in a foreign country and your husband died and both your sons died, it's going to be a little difficult to remain positive and upbeat. I mean, I kind of feel for the woman here. I do. I don't want to say that I would have done any better if I went somewhere else and my family all died and I was left alone, you know. And that was the situation that she's in. And if you read on over in in the 20th verse of the first chapter, and she said unto them, that is the people after they get back to Bethlehem, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And Mara means bitter. Naomi meant pleasant. But she says, call me bitter. So I guess basically she's saying, I'm bitter. Now, I don't think a child of God should ever be bitter. Not saying that we don't get that way. We do sometimes. But we ought not to be, because we've got something, and we've got something that Ruth desired, and that is a relationship with God. We have a home awaiting us, whether we live another 5 days or another 50 years. Those of us that have been saved, and as look around, as far as I know, all of y'all have been saved, and we're all going to that same home. I can only speak for myself, but someday, and I think that Ruth was and Naomi were saved here because of the types and the shadows that they represent. I'm going to be in the same place that they are, and that is in heaven with the Lord, my Savior. But Ruth here, she had that desire. That was what was important to her. It wasn't important to her to go back to her family and look for another man and build a life there in Moab. It was important for her to find out more about this religion. And, you know, they may have not spoke a whole lot about that. I don't know. I don't know how their walk was. I'm speaking of Naomi and Elimelech. But there was enough there to spark an interest for her. There was enough there to draw her, and enough there to create that desire. So, if we today will put forth a little bit of an effort, if we'll have a little bit of a desire and follow through and try, I think that we can accomplish the same thing. Somebody will see. Now, there was also Orpah that turned back. So, you know, you can be out in front of a lot of people, and you can be living your life and testifying and serving God as best you can. You don't know who's going to see. You don't know who's going to listen and heed and feel the Spirit of the Lord moving upon them. And you might never know. We're not guaranteed to see the results, the fruit, but we are guaranteed fruit. We are guaranteed results. If we will serve God and do what He would have us to do, there will be fruit, and there will be rewards and blessings. And Ruth, later on, is going to get some great rewards and some great blessings for her faith and for her diligence. That's the same God that we're serving today. If we'll have a desire, if we'll have a and follow through with that desire diligently, will be rewarded bountifully. The Bible talks about God said to try him and see if he wouldn't open the windows of heaven and pour out our cups will be overflowing. You know, that's not an idle promise. That's not just something that might happen. It's a promise. It's a sure thing. If we'll serve him, that our cups will be overflowing, that our desires will be met. And, you know, our desires, I guess, maybe are going to be met. If they're bad desires, they're going to be met with bad fruit. They're going to be met with things that aren't going to be good for us. That's something to ponder on. That's everything that I've got. Does anybody have any questions, any comments? Appreciate all y'all showing up today. And, you know, a lot of times it's kind of discouraging, but I think it was discouraging for these people that we read about today. It had to have been. I know it was for Naomi. Let's not let it get us down. We don't have anywhere else to turn. We can't turn back to the world. Well, I guess, we can. We have that choice. It's not going to be good if we do. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I didn't mention that, but that's true. Was it Ruth was the mother of who? Of David. Yeah.
So, on page 31, the last portion of that paragraph in the previous page says, her pleas were an outward expression of inward cravings. I thought to myself, you know, that's the only way to come to know Jesus Christ as well. We might have an outward craving, but that inward craving, there was something there that was wrong with Ruth to go with Naomi. Most of another paragraph says, these things caused Ruth to realize there was something about the people and the God of Judah she did not know and understand, but had the desire to both learn and understand. And so there was something that was drawing her, just like it does us. See, we come to church today, and there's something that draws us to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Of course, I like the Kinsman Redeemer. I went on and read the rest of the four chapters in Ruth. And this is a beautiful love story that took place there, the kindness of handfuls of purpose that was put out there for him. And then I came to the conclusion, you know, all three of these men died. But then I wrote this down. Women, sisters in the Lord, have always played an important role in bringing souls to Christ. Persevering when many men fell by the wayside, by death, or other self-will desire, instead of seeking God's will and the desire for all of us. And I thank the good Lord for all the women that did persevere, even when men passed away, they kept on, kept the way going, as we talked about, you know. Ruth had Boaz, or both Ruth and Boaz, you know, had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and of course the lineage of Christ all the way down through there. You go back to the Ammonites and the Moabites, and that was a really bad situation. But centuries later, God turned even that bad situation into one that would give glory and honor to bring His Son Jesus Christ into the world so that we can know Him today. So there's just so much in this short four chapter book that still, after thousands of years, still has an impact on what we're doing today. So it's a blessing to be able to read about this love story.
Yeah, yes, it is. And, you know, it shows how God is able to turn things around. And he is.
So, Jerry, I always say that, you know, we can't see the big picture, but the Lord can. We don't have a crystal ball. We can't see the future, but the Lord can. And we just have to trust in Him to know that His will and His timing is perfect.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He can see it. We can't. Right. We've got to trust Him. I'm sure that I can't imagine, you know, what she must have felt like when she lost her husband and both her boys, but once again, she didn't see. And she did never see. she didn't know, you know, but we know, and we can appreciate all that, you know, her loss. But it's a beautiful story. It's one of my favorites. I love it.
That was a good point. You said she never saw it.
No, we no longer get to see, and we don't have to see.
Right.
We just have to trust.
There's nothing else. Let's remember Brother Lou. If he tries to stand, we'll be with him. And I'll ask Don if he would to dismiss us.
Again, I still thank you, Lord, for this today. Thank you, Lord, that all is well with the city of Chatsworth. I'm not able to preach the sermon today, so I'll ask you to bless Brother Jimmy. And Lord, you might bless all people who speak today, yes, this might be a careful and Lord, we pray that you save the lost. And Lord, we do not request it. Lord, remember them, Lord, pray all the time. You are the good service today, being to preach. May we bless and bless you, Jesus. For the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. There you go.